is the morning program with Gareth Parker on 882 6PR.
6 minutes past 11 on the morning program, and I have a very special guest, an intrepid guest, I'm going to say, in the studio with us this morning. Her name is Faye Day. Faye, good morning.
Good morning, Gareth.
I know it's impolite. I apologise, but we need to set the context. How old are you, Faye?
I'll be 80 this year.
Okay. And I have in front of me a world travel guide. This is a weighty tome. It's a very, very heavy book. I'm looking 840-odd pages. This is volume 2. How many volumes are there?
There will be 9, ultimately.
And these books chronicle what?
It's an autobiographical of my travels, record of my travels.
So you've been to a lot of places.
I have, in excess of 150 countries.
Wow. Where did this love for travel begin?
I did a trip initially to Singapore in 1969, and I was bitten by the bug, and it's become an obsession, Gareth. It's a matter of trying to find where I haven't been now rather than where I have.
So that was your first overseas trip, Singapore 1969.
Yes, yes.
What's your most recent trip?
The most recent trip was to Iran, Lebanon, Pakistan and Sudan, which I returned just before Christmas last year.
They are not high on most people's lists of where to go for a relaxing holiday.
No, indeed they're not, but they were places I hadn't been.
Wow.
And Pakistan was very interesting. It surprised me, the beauty of the country, which I wasn't prepared for, but I felt very secure because the police provided me with a personal escort who followed me everywhere with an AK-47.
Is that right?
Yes.
How did that come about?
Well, I think it was because they have had no tourism in Pakistan since 9/11. And everywhere I went, a crowd would congregate, people would shake my hand, they would say welcome, they would offer tea every time I stopped to take a photograph. And my shadow, of course, was included.
So apart from your companion with the AK-47, which I assume isn't typical when you travel.
No, no.
Who do you travel with?
I travel solo, Gareth. I prefer to do that because if you travel with somebody else, you have to consider what they want to do. And, if I've seen a place, I'll quite often move on the same day. You can cover more territory if you're on your own. It may sound selfish, but, I don't travel with women because they like to shop and I only look when I'm looking for food. So,
so what do you do?
What do you mean, what do I do?
When you travel, what do you do rather than shop?
I usually I'll arrive probably at the city and my first port of call would usually be the tourist office and I'd just get a list of what to see and I'd hoof it.
That's it?
Yeah, you see a lot more if you're walking. And like Prague, for instance, which is one of my favourite cities in the world, is very walkable. You can walk it in a day. And you see a lot more from walking. And I'm interested in everything, the history, the culture, particularly the scenic value of different countries.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to Singapore in 1969. What was it like then?
Very different.
Yeah.
Yes, it wasn't as sterile as it is now. I mean, Chinatown was Chinatown. Now it's very pristine and I haven't been in latter years because it's become very expensive, Singapore, but everybody would have heard of the old Boogie Street, of course, which was very much in evidence in those early years. I won't elaborate on what went on in Boogie Street.
Yeah. Do I take from that when you're travelling that you like to get off the beaten path a bit?
I do. Yes, I do. I'd like to mention one of my most interesting trips.
Please.
Was in Irian Jaya in 2012, and I went to visit. I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes, but there are literally Stone Age people on our planet. They only allow 50 people a year through there. You have to have a guide, and it literally traipsing through jungle and hacking away at the undergrowth with a machete and crossing logs over rivers. And these people, they don't wear any clothes. They live in houses in the trees. And they're not a tribe. They're different families. And you visit the different families. But they still use stone axes, a stone that is bound to a forked stick with a bit of twine. And that they use to chop down the sago and make the sago very... Everything's very primitive, and that was an extraordinary experience, which I feel very privileged to have seen.
I mean, that's almost—it's sort of like something out of the history books.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. They're literally Stone Age people. They don't have any contact with the outside world, Amazing. And as I say, only 50 people a year they're authorized to go through there with a guide.
Where are some of the other interesting places you've been?
Ah. That's a good question.
It's almost too many to pick.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Just pick one at random.
I did a 5-month trip from Mexico down to Venezuela and back through 17 of the Caribbean islands to Cuba. I had some interesting encounters on that. I got mugged in Guatemala, and it was one of the most frightening experiences that I've ever been through, because I lost everything, my passport, which was a traumatic experience.
When was that?
It's a few years ago.
Okay. But what I find remarkable is that, and for people who, well, this is obviously the radio, I can tell them that you are quite a small lady, you're small in stature, you travel solo to places that I wouldn't dream of going.
Yes, I realise I'm a target. And I'm very streetwise, but you still get caught. There's new scams out there every year. But the frightening thing about the experience in Guatemala was that Australia has no representation in Central America. So I had to go to the British Embassy, and they treated me like the criminal. I finished up with a British passport, which they sold me for to get me home. And they asked me, did I want to be repatriated? And I said, no, I wasn't going to let them defeat me. I had money because I'd kept it under my clothing. And it was Christmas Eve. It took me a lot of courage to leave the hotel with a few dollars to go and buy something for Christmas dinner.
Wow.
But, that was a traumatic experience.
But it didn't stop you?
It didn't stop me, no.
What is it about travel that you love so much? I mean, you've been to hundreds of places.
Yeah, in excess of 150 countries. Mm-hmm.
What is it is it wanderlust? Is it seeing new cultures? I mean, what is it?
It's everything. I think it's become an obsession, as I say, and I'm a compulsive traveller. it's a matter of trying to find new places to visit, and it's a challenge. But, you know, I went to Sudan last year. Now, Sudan we hear nothing about because it's a troubled country again. But the history is akin to Egypt. The first pharaoh was a Sudanese king, and they have more pyramids there than they do in Egypt. And they're different, but the carving that I saw and the murals are superior to anything that you could find in Egypt.
So there's this amazing ancient culture there that
absolutely, yeah,
we just don't know. I mean, I think of Sudan, I think civil war, I think machine guns, I think, you know,
poverty,
tribal, starvation, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So why did you want to go there?
Because I hadn't been. So then I read about it. And as long as you go north of Khartoum, it's perfectly safe. I took the precaution of having a guided private tour. And in deference to my age, I'm not backpacking as often as I used to.
So but that was the way you would mainly get around?
Always backpacking.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What about Syria, which for a lot of people, they hear Syria in 2018 and they think this must be hell on earth.
Well, it is now, unfortunately. I was privileged to go there and I travelled the entire country on public transport. And places like Palmyra, which is a desert, there's nothing but sand for hundreds of miles around. It was a magnificent city, and I just can't understand the mentality that they've actually destroying their heritage. And like a guest of yours recently, I was privileged to be there as a sole occupant in the evening, and it was an absolutely marvellous experience.
What about the individual people, the Syrians?
Oh, they're delightful, delightful people. But all the I was looking for photographs to put in the book, and all I could find on Google were destroyed cities. So all my photographs now are going to be historic.
That's quite remarkable, isn't
it? Yeah. It's but you know, you have heartwarming experiences. I remember in Turkey, I stopped to photograph a building, and a lady was watching me from out of her window, and I indicated what I wanted to do with the camera because I didn't want to offend, and she insisted that I go up into her house, and a total stranger, and I was reluctant because the downstairs area smelt anything but hygienic. Sure. Anyway, she came and escorted me up. She had nothing. She lived in a bare room. I think there was a bird hanging in a cage from the ceiling. And she spoke no English. I spoke no Turkish, but we managed to communicate that she lived with her sister. And she went to a trunk she had under the bed, which was one of the few furnishings in the room. And from out of that, she took a scarf and she put it on my head. And when I went to leave, she wouldn't let me take it off. Now, that lady had nothing, and she was prepared to, you know, I had nothing to give in return because I wasn't carrying anything. But, you know, I've kept that and I treasure it because these are the sort of incidents, the heartwarming incidents that you get.
That's amazing.
With local people. Yeah.
Amazing. Stick with us, Faye. We need to take a quick ad break, but we're going to talk more right after this.
882 6PR.
And it's 23 minutes past 11, and my special guest in the studio is the best travelled person I've ever met. I think that that's true. Faye Day. Faye, you told an amazing, lovely story before the break about being invited up into the home of a woman in Turkey. Didn't have many material possessions, but she left you with a scarf, insisted you take it. You must get an amazing insight into human beings.
Yes, I find as a solo traveller that people will interact with you more so than if you're with a group. If you're with a group, people tend to keep to themselves, but if you're on your own, people will start up a conversation and,
Do you like that aspect of travel?
Yes, I do. I have done group travel, but it's not for me.
Okay. What do you learn? I mean, is that the way to learn what a place is all about, to talk to the people? As much as the spectacular sights, be they natural or man-made or the food, I mean, how do you get a, or do you get a sense for what a place is all about?
Yes, it's actually quite surprising. You can orientate yourself within a very short time, and I always get a sense of what a place is like. Very quickly, you can either sense that it's a friendly environment or there's a bit of antagonism or something like that. And each place is different. But
how do you begin to engage with someone when you don't speak their language?
They usually approach you. It's usually just a hello, and a smile goes a long way, and sign language. And usually most people understand a bit of English everywhere you go. I've been in a situation where I've needed help and I've just sort of stood up and announced to everybody in general, does anybody speak English? And, you know, you can usually find somebody that's willing to assist actually, when you talk language, that's quite funny. I remember going through China, and I had not a word of Chinese, and of course all the signs are in Chinese, and travelling extensively by train right across the country. And one incident, the conductor came up to me, and she was trying to ask me something, inquire about something, and in desperation she went away and she wrote it on paper and she brought it back to me and it was in Chinese.
It didn't help you or her.
It didn't help, no.
You It's in many respects, it's a sort of a troubled world, a dangerous world out there. But as you've travelled around it, including some of the most dangerous parts of the world, and you've met all these people and you've sought assistance from time to time, does it make you more optimistic or more pessimistic about humanity?
That's a good question. I've never really thought about it. I think probably more pessimistic than optimistic, if I'm going to think about that question, yeah.
And is that just because of the things that you've seen that we do to one another?
Yes, yes. In Cambodia, for instance, you know, I went to the Tong Sleng Museum where the Khmer Rouge slaughtered all those people, and it's a very sobering place. Mind you, that's history, but I don't think the world's improved.
What do your family say? What do they think about this?
They're used to it.
do they worry about you?
Well, I hope they do. I hope they do. I don't have any family here. My son lives in England and my daughter lives in Sydney. I remember one year I went away and something happened while I was away, and my daughter admonished me not to go without letting her know where I was in future, but I don't think they worry unduly.
What do you tell people about Australia when you're travelling and say, I'm from Perth, I'm from Western Australia? What do you tell them about this place?
I think we have one of the most wonderful countries in the world. I love Australia. I've seen most of it, and it's particularly the north west of our own state and the Northern Territory appeal to me.
You like the Kimberley?
Yeah, very much, yeah.
I think anyone who's been there feels that way. It's one of those places that I want to spend more time in. I've only been up there really for work. I've never had time to holiday up there and explore it properly, but I think it's on a lot of people's bucket list. But they find it expensive. They find it a long way away. So travel is expensive.
It is expensive.
So how do you afford it?
Well, I travel. I live very frugally at home, and I used to travel very budget conscious. But when you talk about the one place I have not seen here is the Mitchell Plateau, and I'm looking at doing the boat from Broome to Darwin or vice versa that actually has a helicopter flight to the Mitchell Plateau. Well, that's very expensive.
Yeah.
So it's getting to the stage where anything I want to do now is very expensive.
Would you encourage other older Australians to travel? Because I think a lot of people like the idea of travel, but they do worry about their safety. They do worry about things being foreign and different.
Absolutely. I've been called an inspiration, and I hope it's true, because I would encourage anybody. Actually, very early in my travels, I heard a story about a lady in a wheelchair that went down a river on a raft. I can't recall what river it was, but I held her up as my inspiration because she was handicapped and she did that adventurous thing. So, I'd encourage anybody to get out of their comfort zone, and you don't realise until you actually go to a place what you can get out of it, really.
Do you have a number one travel tip?
Oh, yes. Be very conservative in what you wear. I don't wear any jewellery. I always carry my clothing, my valuables under my clothing. I learned that from experience. I was actually robbed on a train in Poland. There was the carriages in Europe, off a corridor,
yeah.
And there were these three men got on, and there was a crowd, and I was wearing one of those bum bags on my stomach, of all places,
yeah.
And the chappie in front turned around and said, it's full, you can't get in, there's no room, and in so doing, he opened that pouch on my stomach and took everything out of it, and I had no idea. It was so cleverly done.
Wow.
And when I sat down in the carriage and I realised it was open, I took my luggage to get off the train, and I was very fortunate because they must have flipped through it. It was vouchers and airline tickets, a small amount of money. They must have flipped through it and found nothing, and they'd thrown it on the railway station. I would have been in dire straits if they hadn't done that, because it was confirmation of bookings and all sorts of things.
So you sort of come to grief a few times, but
I have,
always you keep going.
Yeah.
Where's next?
Well, Colombia.
Of course.
Yeah. that's on the bucket list for this year. I was doing a dive on the Titanic.
What do you mean you were doing a dive on the Titanic?
Well, I actually paid a deposit on it some years ago, but it didn't eventuate, and it's taking a long time to come to fruition, and in the meantime the cost has gone up to $105,000 American dollars. So,
we're talking a scuba dive, are we? On the
it's too deep. Nobody can go down. It's 2.5 miles down, but it's you go in a submersible. And they've been testing the submersibles, hence the delay. But I've seen the latest pictures. I've seen there's the famous railing is gone. Where the staircase was is just a hole. It's just a rusting hole.
Yeah.
And I'm not really. I still would love to do it, but
the money
is.
Faye, Tim has called the program. He wants to ask you something, I think. Good morning, Tim.
Yeah, good morning, Gareth. Thanks for taking the call. I joined the interview midway through it, I think, but I just picked up on Faye, I think it is, who said her inspiration was somebody who she met. When I was about 30 years ago, when I was doing some backpacking, I met a lady who is my inspiration. She was a 65-year-old Australian grandmother who was travelling on her own. She'd lost her husband, family were, grown up, so she was off backpacking. And this is in the days before mobile phones and the internet. And she had, a couple of years previously, been travelling in India, had been in a bus accident, and had lost her right arm in a bus accident. The window came down on her arm. She had to be medevaced back to Australia for an operation. That didn't stop her travelling. Once she'd recovered from that, she was back on the road, having had to learn to write again with her left arm. And I met her when we were backpacking in Uganda. And I remember standing in front of a bus where we'd all been told to get off it to be checked by the army because they were concerned about contraband going backwards and forwards between Kenya and Uganda. And I remember standing with her at about 11 o'clock one night in the headlights of a public bus as the army went through all of our gear. And I always remember her and what she had been up to as my inspiration for travelling. And I've been doing it for 30 years, and the kids have got, I think, a bit tired of me taking them off on public transport trips rather than doing it a bit more upmarket.
More salubriously, Tim.
It's absolutely, and I just picked up on that. I don't normally phone up, but, Faye had her inspiration. In the back of my mind, that lady is still mine because, I'm in my early 50s. I haven't done anywhere near the travelling I want to do, and I would, like Faye, encourage everybody to go and do it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tim. You've got many more years ahead of you.
I hope so.
As does Faye, I think.
Health permitting, and obviously Faye will be, fully conscious of all the issues there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Tim, thank you. Really appreciate you picking up the phone and giving us a call.
Cheers. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Tim. So there you go. That's, a similar story in a way.
Yes. Actually, I've been to India many times, and I was involved in a fatal accident there, but it's something I don't talk about.
Okay.
Just very distressing. And I've also been deported.
Deported?
I've been deported, yes.
Where from?
Well, I was taking a train through the Baltic countries, and I took a night train to avoid having to pay accommodation, but nobody told me that the night train went through Belarus, which is the last hardcore country in Europe. And these guards came into my cabin with their funny hats, but the faces beneath them weren't very funny. They took my passport, and I was dressed in next to nothing, and I was bundled out on the freezing platform and locked in a room with five other people, and we were deported back to where we'd come from.
You criminal, you.
It's all par for the course.
It's amazing. How much longer do you think you keep going?
As long as I can, Gareth.
Yeah. Mm. Well, keep us posted, will you?
I will indeed. Yes.
You've got a web, as well as this book and the other books, you've got a website too, do you?
I do.
Where can people find it if they'd like to learn more?
It's www.fayday.com. That's it. Very simple one.
Check it out, folks. Faye, so great to meet you.
It's my pleasure.
You are an inspiration.
Oh, thank you, Gareth.
I mean it. 24.
Appreciate that.
Thank you so much for coming.